What's up, everyone? It's 11:31 p.m. I just wasted 2 hours of my life watching NC State and UNC. NC State sucked it up again, as they always do, proven to be the littlest brother of, you know, the North Carolinian triangle, whatever you want to call it, of basketball teams. And no matter how good they do in football or anything else, they're always the little brother. They proved it again. The only time they ever beat Carolina or Duke is when it doesn't matter at all. So they just continue to prove, you know, that they'll always be that. So, like I said, it was coming on after Duke and Wake Forest. And I was like, oh, cool. State's ranked, and they've only lost one game. It's at State. I like their chances. But, you know, it proves once again exactly what I just said. So, I watched UNC win, which, if you know me, you know that I don't like watching. You know, I don't really get into watching teams, especially teams I dislike a lot, unless they're down by like 5 with 2 minutes to go. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to turn it there and watch them lose and enjoy it, which is kind of like weird. But I don't want to watch. It's not like I'm a scout. I want to watch Duke, or I'm probably busy. So, waste of time. And it's late now. Got to get up early. But here we are. Before that, obviously, I watched Duke go to Wake Forest and just handle business. I mean, nothing spectacular, but they handle business. We'll get into that in a second. I wanted to just start with the Clemson and Duke game. I went to that game, and it was kind of last minute. We kind of have a little connection, and it worked out. So we were like, yeah, we'll go. I mean, why not go for, I don't want to say how much, $50 a ticket. Yeah. So anyways, we went, and I know Clemson's not amazing, but they had some experience and size. And they looked like a good team, you know, but they looked pretty nervous going to Cameron for their first conference game or whatever. So I figured it was going to be kind of slight work. And as we've seen multiple times, Duke is kind of letting people hang around. They're letting teams hang around the first half. And this, like, second half, they come straight out, punch him in the mouth. It's like a filling out period in the first half. Second half, punch him in the mouth, game over after 2 minutes. I remember there was, like, a minute left in halftime, you know, the halftime period. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go get a drink. There was, like, a little bit of a line, but for the most part, it had cleared out. I went back out there, and that was when I don't even know what happened because I was getting a drink. But they were already up like 10 more points than what they were at half. I was like, did I miss everything? Presley was just like, yeah, you did. I was like, cool. But I didn't miss the 360 dunk. Saw that one very clear. And screamed like a, I don't know what I screamed like because it was so loud in there. I could not hear myself. Probably like a girl though. I was sitting beside this dude and he was drinking a lot, and we kept hitting each other accidentally. He made some jokes about it, but I was like, he was kind of, you know, New York accent. I don't really understand it that well because I'm 100% Australian, so I don't really understand New York accents, Northern accents. I don't know. You know, mate, I'm 100% Australian, mate, you know? So, and that is my Australian accent that I hide all the time. I know it's completely, like, you can't believe it because my accent's so good. Not really, but ever since I became a Jack White fanboy, which was as soon as I found out who he was a couple years ago, I've been trying to be Australian. So let me know if you like my accent. Presley said it's the worst one she's ever heard, as many other of my family have said. But I've never heard any of them do better, so I'm still 100% Australian. So the 360 dunk, it was crazy, right? I mean, it looked so effortless, and the fact that they were, you know, just kind of downplaying it, like, yeah, I did a 360, yeah. And then Coach K's like, yeah, he can do that. I mean, he can do as many as he wants. Just get the damn thing in the basket. Like, if you don't do that, we're going to have a problem. And he missed one tonight, Zion did. And it's almost like the LeBron thing or the DeAndre Jordan thing where, like, he tries to dunk it so hard that it breaks the backboard and rim and everything every time that one of the times it's going to hit the rim and just bounce out 30,000 feet up in the air. So that happened tonight. He still had 30 points, over 10 rebounds, over 5 assists, and he's the first Duke player to ever do that, or first Duke freshman. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But yeah, the 360 dunk, it went crazy in there, and then it was kind of like a tidal wave. Everyone that saw it freaked out, and then everyone got on their phones and like texted everybody, like, are you watching the game? Did you see that? I was just kind of like, I'm at Cameron, I'm not gonna text my 7 friends in my group chat, but that's just kind of how it is now. And you know they're gonna see it because ESPN is super bandwagon dick rider now, and they like Duke because of Zion, because he dunks. And I hate that, and they don't, it's just funny. It's like, Duke played well, the Zion Durham Blue Devils, you know, like, they don't mention how Trey Jones is breaking records as a freshman point guard, things like that. It's kind of funny. I don't really like it. I don't like being that team. Kind of like I was pulling against Alabama in the little championship thing. What is it, college football? Yeah, sorry. I'm not a huge college football fan either. Just because, like, everybody likes them. It's almost like people call them the Duke of college football. And I get that because they're so good and they win a lot. I don't think it's that similar. But the thing that I was thinking, like, I want them to lose just because I feel like they're supposed to win. And people feel that way about Duke. And when you feel like a team's supposed to win, it comes with a lot of bandwagon fans. So I guess Duke's in the same boat. You know, for a long time, I was like, oh, Duke's got all the white guys. It's not cool to like Duke. But my point is, now that it's cool to like Duke, Drake might show up at the damn championship game or something with a Duke jersey on, Zion jersey, or at his tour or something, and it's like, we don't want the Drake curse, or, you know, whatever. So I just think it kind of sucks when you, like, I know everyone that listens to this, if you're listening to this shit that I'm talking, you are a true fan, because there's no bandwagon people wasting their time listening to me talk about how I went to the game on the other night. But it's like, I don't think bandwagon means you became a fan the last 5 years. Because, I mean, you can, if you're emotionally attached to a team when they lose or win, you're a true fan. Like, you're not, if you're like, yeah, Duke's amazing, man, Zion's my favorite player, and then you're like, name the point guard, and they're like, yeah, it's that, you know, Tyler Jones, you know? It's like, I had so many friends like that on both ends of the spectrum growing up. It was always so funny, because even as a Duke fan, you know more than most bandwagon ass Carolina fans about their own team, so quizzing them and making them look stupid was always fun for me. But so yeah, I just think it kind of sucks when it's like a bandwagon team that everybody's hopping on the bandwagon, and then you're like, shit, I'm a real fan. All these people look stupid. I don't know where I went with that, but I hope you can relate, because I feel like there's a select few for the Golden State Warriors as well. But when it gets like that in the pros, I don't really think it correlates the same as college basketball, because the pros, you know, it's all about just where's LeBron playing? Where's Curry playing? Where's Kyrie playing? There are diehard Celtics fans because the history, or diehard Lakers fans because the history. But my the circle I'm in, as far as, you know, this age range of 20 to 30 years old, I feel like the games that come on TV and the games that are competitive, like LeBron, Kyrie, the Warriors, that's who you're going to tend to like, not really be emotionally attached. Like, I'll never – the only reason I was emotionally attached is because I wanted Kyrie to win, and I just hated how unfair it seemed the way the Golden State Warriors were set up, just because I want to watch competitive shit. So, anyways, I mean, yeah. The one thing that I will say about Cameron, the game wasn't that great just because there was a lot of foul calls in the first half, a lot of stops in the action. So it never really picked up a pace in the first half. I don't know if that's why the crowd wasn't that great. Like, it wasn't that electric in there. I've been to non-conference games there that were not competitive at all, and the crowd was, like, ecstatic. So that was kind of weird. I thought first conference game, I thought it'd be kind of crazy. It wasn't as good as I've seen, and it definitely wasn't like a Carolina game, which completely understandable. But it was a little lackluster, and I wonder if that's like a trend because just the students, you know, I know for a fact they're not as crazy as they once were. But I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing they still get up for the crazy games. I mean, they still camp out and shit. It's getting it's getting wilder and wilder as far as how long they're camping outside and stuff. But I don't know. I guess I just expected a little more for the first conference game of the season. But when it started picking up, like Jack White blocking people, which, oh my God, he's like Batman, just because it's like he always does the right thing, and he just comes out of nowhere. Like, I know, you know, he just comes out of nowhere and blocks the shit out of people and never like shows that much emotion or anything. He's not afraid to take like he's not afraid to get dunked on, but he doesn't get dunked on. He just blocks people. So that was awesome. You could tell the crowd appreciated that. It was a huge applause for him when he came out of the game. And the 360 dunk was crazy. And then Duke got in a rhythm. And, you know, it was pretty good in there. That whole setup, like outside and inside, it's like a movie. It's like magical. But, yeah. So that was that for the Clemson game. You know, Trey Jones, most important player on the team, in my opinion. Zion's obviously up there. They're like neck and neck right now just because the defensive and offensive end of the floor, the way Jones is doing as far as, you know, I'll get into this in a second, but they're going to Florida State this weekend. And if it was Duvall, I'd be like, oh, my God, he's just not going to do great because he's not ready and he's not team-oriented. That's what it felt like when they would go, you know, to an away game. And now, Trey Jones, I feel the complete opposite. I feel like he's ready to go down there in Tallahassee, and it's not going to affect him a bit. And he's probably good for one turnover at the most. By the way, he had one turnover tonight. Trey Jones, you need to go sit on the bench. One whole turnover. Used to you having no turnovers, so you need to tighten up, man. Can't have that. So, yeah, but I feel like he's just ready. It doesn't matter who he's going against. It doesn't matter where, when. He's just the constant of the team. I almost hate it when, you know, I keep saying, you know, I'm sorry, it's been a minute, a little rusty. Gotta not do that. When RJ or Zion gets a rebound and takes it down the court and isolate or run a play or anything, and then Trey Jones is just over there in the corner, I'm just like, man, I kind of wish they just give the ball to him and let him do his thing, because I know he's not going to turn it over. I know he's not going to take a selfish shot, and I know he's not going to be stagnant. So that's who I want touching the ball every possession. I get sometimes fast break, coast to coast, crazy stuff. He's not going to touch the ball. But some of the offensive possessions that end up in a stupid three or a fadeaway mid-range or, you know, a turnover, I'm just like, should I get the ball to Trey Jones with 20 seconds left on the shot clock and let's see what happens. There were so many times a night against Wake Forest, he drove, kicked it out to Reddish, really got Reddish going. It was like he was making a point to keep getting the ball to Reddish because he knew Reddish was struggling. And he hit some big shots and stuff where he drove and drew a foul, Trey Jones, that is, or got Zion, you know, just, oh my God, sorry. Got Zion the ball and just all around A-plus point guard as a freshman. I think he'll probably go pro if it continues, just because the same situation with Tyus, like Ja and Justice, and they went pro, and it was just like, I'm not going to stay here. I can go pro and get drafted right now, so I'm going to go. If that's the case for Trey Jones, which he's mock first-round pick, as long as everything keeps trending upward, he's going to stay there and move forward more probably. That's just, especially with his on-ball defense and defensive awareness every single possession. Not one single possession off. You just know people are going to start seeing that and make it a priority to want him. So, but I kind of hope he stays. I really like him on the team. So that was the past two games, same situation. Him just doing everything right and Jack White doing everything right. Jack White didn't score tonight, but he had 5 blocks and just does the right thing and is just always in the right spot and is not afraid to be the last line of defense for anyone trying to score. I really like that. He fights for rebounds, and he can knock down a three also. He was stroking in the Clemson game, and the crowd was loving it. It was wild. So if he keeps that up, and then Javon, I mean, I haven't always been the highest on Javon, but the fact that he hasn't missed a shot in since, I don't even remember when, beginning of December or something. The past 5 or 6 games, he's 19 for 19, I think. You can tell he's playing within his role. Jack White's playing within his role. And it's just building confidence. Even Bolden is playing in his role. The worries that I'm worried about as far as Saturday, just those little stagnant points where they take 4 dumb shots in a row and then the other team knocks down 2 big threes. And then it's like, why did we just do that with all the talent? Post up, run a play, run a pick and roll. Stop just being stagnant and doing dumb shit 5 times in a row. And mainly it's in the first half. And it's like, you can't do this, because if this happens against Virginia or tournament time, I don't even want to think about it, but you cannot do that with all this talent on the floor. So that's a worry. Second worry is Zion picking up 2 fouls early, which seems to be a common thing. That cannot happen. It can happen, but it's not... It's really a bad way to mess the flow up of the game for Duke's offense. He brings so much energy the way he goes hard every single play, offensive and defense, which is why he picks up fouls. But that energy sent to the bench, and then it's almost like he can kind of fall into a cold spell, or he can get jittery over there on the bench, come back in, and commit his 3rd foul really fast. So that's always a worry in my mind too. It's always a worry with like the best players. Last year, that was my worry with Bagley and Carter. This year, it's my worry with Zion. So that, and then last, I guess, pretty much Cam Reddish. I'm seeing him go up and down. You know his potential because you see how good he did at the beginning of the year. And he struggled very bad. I mean, the beginning of, at the Clemson game, he looked bad almost the whole game. He just looked not confident, not playing at his speed, and almost like he felt like when he got the ball, like, now I can do it. I can do good. And he just struggles and fails or makes a mistake or dribbles off his foot, whatever it is. It's just like, I guess, so much talent around him that he's not used to only touching the ball every now and then, and he's just in a little slump, you know. He just has to find that confidence back, and he's getting there because the beginning of the game tonight, he looked like he was blind the way he was shooting the ball, and he also had a few quick turnovers. Started hitting a couple shots. Later in the game, I'm trying to pull up the stats. And he ended up with 10 points. 4 for 9 from the field. Hit 2 threes, which was good. 4 turnovers. Zion also had 4. RJ had 4. I'm less worried about the Zion and RJ ones. I'm more worried about the Cam ones. Just because the way he's been trending. But towards the end of the Wake Forest game, he looked a lot better. So, I hope that's a good thing to sign, you know, a good sign of things to come. Yeah. If not, I don't know. I see what Coach K's doing kind of, because he's not relying on O'Connell like, oh, Cam isn't ready, I need to start playing other players. He's trying to let Cam work through it because they beat the hell out of Wake Forest and Clemson. So he's trying to let Cam work through it because he knows what Cam's potential is. So he's like, work it out, man. You're fine. Keep shooting. Keep dribbling. Keep doing everything. Giving him confidence. And I like that because, like I said, we all saw him light up multiple teams at the beginning of the year. This whole season's felt like a blur with all these ass stompings, though. Except for the Gonzaga slip-up and the, what was it, Texas Tech. That was a tough game. So I think he's letting him work through it. But Saturday against Florida State, they're really good. I saw they announced during the Carolina game that tickets in the lower bowl of the game Saturday are going for like $2,500, some of them. So, ouch. Yeah, I won't be attending that. But those are my worries. Zion foul trouble, Cam just, I have a good feeling he's going to get back in his groove, but they really need him. He's extremely good. He can light it up like Gary Trent did last year at times. Just like, they just keep finding him. He just keeps knocking down big shots like it's nothing. He just gets in that groove like he's a shooter. Shooter, shoot, you know. But he's also multi-talented with his size and quickness. And I saw him pump fake and drive baseline dunk. Like, he's perfectly capable of doing those kind of things all the time. I just think he kind of gets out of a rhythm with RJ and Zion carrying a heavy workload too. But that's kind of it. Like I said, I just think Zion and Trey are constants. Zion just does crazy stuff every game. To where he does so much, I don't even know. Tonight, I watched the whole game, and I was just like, dang, Zion had a good game. And then I see he had 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and only 1 block. But I was just like, I didn't know he scored 30, but those quick three-pointers at the beginning of the game and everything, I guess that helped. His three-point jump shot looks kind of funny, like he barely jumps. And he's a lefty, obviously, but they were falling today, so, I mean, I like how he, you know, they sagged off of him at the beginning of the game. He knocked down a few, and then it was like, well, now you got to guard him, and now if you got to guard him at the three, I just feel bad for you. Could you imagine being down low, and he's coming at you full force, about to dunk on you, and it's like, I would just lay down. And the other strong suit of Duke. I'm rambling, but it is what it is. I like how this year they're defending the rim when teams try to drive in and draw fouls or drive in and get layups. That's been a problem in the past. But between Jack White, Javon, RJ, and Zion, and then the defensive awareness of Trey Jones, where basically he'll get in, just get his hand in there and knock the ball away, and the guy that was shooting is like, where did he come from? Then you got the Towers in there, and you got the depth where if Javon, you know, hard foul or Bolden or somebody, it's not the end of the world. That's just been huge because, you know, a man-to-man, Duke has been beat off the three-point line tons of times, and then the guy down low just fouls the shit out of the guard or doesn't rotate or whatever. But this team is a lot better with that, so I like that. So all in all, it's looking good. Two good wins. Stagnant in the first half both times. I don't know the reason for that. I'm not too sure. But I would like to see him come out and punch Florida State in the mouth. And they're probably going to need it. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Away game, obviously. Hostile crowd down there. And it hasn't been easy in the past. So, I obviously favor Duke. But it should be a good one. I'm actually cannot watch that game live Saturday because it's at 2 p.m. I'm not free until about 5, so I'm debating what to do. Should I have it streaming on my phone and catch it like every couple minutes, or should I stay off my phone all day till about 6, go get food, and watch it pre-recorded, you know, after the fact? That would include me staying off my phone that whole time, avoiding notifications, which is a pain in the ass, and then watching it after the fact, and then turning right around and watching the Cowboys Rams right after that. That's what I'd like to do, but it's so hard to stay disciplined and just not touch your phone and watch it as if you're watching it live. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably just try to check in on my phone every couple minutes, but that sucks too, so we'll see. So you got that game, and then 2 days after, Syracuse at Duke. I mean, that'll be a fun one to watch. It's always fun playing against Syracuse. I like that it's at Duke. I'm very happy about that. So that'll be a fun one to watch. That's Monday at 7 p.m. That's a good time. I like that. Then they get a few days off, and then it's Virginia at Duke. As you know, Virginia's undefeated. They have Kyle Guy, who's just, ugh. And they are disciplined, and they play the right way. The way they also play might get you bounced out of the NCAA tournament as a one seed in the first round. But in conference, they do good. So that one's going to be crazy. And seeing how Duke plays at Florida State, that'll be a good kind of precursor in a way, trial run because obviously you want to see how they do away in that hostile environment. And then you get Syracuse. It's kind of like a rebound game of, okay, now we're at home. And then you get a few days to prepare for Virginia. I would really like them to beat Virginia. So Virginia has Boston College tonight, Clemson Saturday, Virginia Tech Tuesday, and then Duke Saturday. So they have a extremely tough game Tuesday before they play Duke against number 9 Virginia Tech, who's no slouch either. A lot of experience, very well-coached team. You saw that last year when they beat Duke's ass. But that's at Virginia. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Virginia and Virginia Tech. And then Saturday against Duke. So they don't have an easy schedule up until then. They have 4 games in, you know, a little over a week. So it's going to be fun to see that matchup. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, do you like the chances of Duke this year? Do you like what you've seen so far? What do you not like? I saw people giving Cam Reddish a hard time, but it's early in the season. They need to chill the fuck out. I might have a section where I just complain. Cam Reddish people, chill the hell out. Black uniform curse people, chill the hell out. People trying to coach the team, like, you can give your opinion because that's all people do these days. That's why social media is a thing. You can put your opinion out there and act like people care. That's what I'm doing right now. But people trying to coach the team and tell, you know, Coach K what to do, I'm sure they're probably working on some things, so chill the fuck out. And people who don't like Chick-fil-A, calm the hell down. Like, okay, that's it. That's it for all that. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. It's too late, man. I don't even know if I'm going to put this out. It's so fuzzy because it's just late and I wasted 2 hours of my life watching UNC. I think I favor Duke. I mean, Duke should always be favored, but I like their chances. I like their chances more at Duke against Virginia than I do Saturday at Florida State. But I still give them the advantage. ESPN has them a 70% chance matchup predictor. The crazy thing is obviously the fact that, you know, Zion could have 20, 10, and 10. And then you won't even hear about the fact that RJ dropped 40. And that's the craziness about how talented this team is. I mean, and then Trey Jones could have 10, 10, and 10 also. You know, you won't hear about that on ESPN. You won't hear about Trey Jones. You won't hear about Jack White. You won't hear about Javon not missing a field goal. But you'll hear that Zion dunked. But that's fine with me because I watch the games and I don't care what ESPN says because they suck. I don't really like this ESPN Plus app thing either. I pay for the channel on the TV, you know? Like, I don't really want to stream it too on my phone and have to pay extra. So I might have to find a way around that because, I mean, it's $7 a month, but when you add up $7 a month for that, $7 a month for Netflix, $7 a month for $10 a month for Apple Music, $10 a month for what else? Just another stupid app like Hulu or some shit. I don't know. I don't even know what that is. But like, come on, ESPN. It's just kind of dumb. I'm glad they got the UFC though. I will get it for the UFC and Duke, obviously. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the biggest surprise so far is Jack White just being so constant. Trey Jones, not a surprise at all. You can go back in my tweets and a couple other people's. We called that one. We hit the nail on the head with that one. So, yeah, appreciate everyone listening. And This one was a little spontaneous just because it's late, and that's how they usually are. But anyways, I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a good New Year. I just want one thing, and that's a championship this year. I think it's safe to say that with the talent that they have and the lack of visible holes that this team has as a whole team, they are freaking due for a championship. The powerhouses of the league, there's no insane powerhouses. It's Duke this year. So they had a good chance last year too. I liked their chances. They were picking up speed as they went, but the point guard was a huge issue. The void at point guard, as far as just looking in the past at how good the point guard position was in the title games or the title years that we won, that was just a glaring hole the past 2 years. So I just am really hoping so. But yeah, shoot me your thoughts. Thanks for listening. I will work on not saying and you know so much next time. Hope everyone has a great week. And, I don't know. Maybe you could just text me, tweet me updates throughout the game. Let me know who's doing terrible. And I know the last game that I tried to stay in, I was in a church thing all day. And it was last year when they lost against, I can't even remember who. I think it was the Madison Square Garden game last year. So, I hope that's not the similar situation this time. And I don't think it will be. I like their chances. I'll take Duke by 9 on Saturday. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you for listening, and have a good week.